Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott.
You know, my dad grew up on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. He was born in 37.
And this is Kelly, who remembers her father George telling stories of growing up in Irish Harlem, pretty rough neighborhood squeezed between Spanish Harlem, Black Harlem, and Columbia University. George was a straight-up city kid, but each summer, from about the age of 6 or 7 until he was a tween, he escaped to the woods of New Hampshire and a Catholic boys' camp called Camp Notre Dame on Spofford Lake.
Every year, they had a talent show, and my dad was obsessed with the radio and was obsessed with comedy on the radio.
You know the guy's names on the baseball team? Yes. Well, go ahead. Who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the guy's name.
Who?
The guy playing first.
Who?
The guy playing first base.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
What are you asking me for? I don't know.
And my dad loved mimicking the voices and people and making up his own radio commercials and things like that.
And so every year, George performed, trying his hand at stand-up.
I have a feeling he was probably imitating, like, you know, camp counselors and things like that also.
And he was good, like really, really good.
He won the talent show every year.
that's not altogether surprising.
Right.
It's not surprising once you realize that George, the summer camp impersonator, grew up to be a transformational force in comedy. His influence cannot be overstated, nor can it be summarized in just a few words. It could be in 7, but I can't say them.
You know the 7, don't you, that you can't say on television? Shit, a mother, huh? Those are the heavy 7. Those are the ones that'll infect your soul, curve your spine, and keep the country from winning the war.
George is, of course, George Carlin, who would eventually get kicked out of Notre Dame summer camp for stealing a roll of camera film from a local grocery store. Still, his daughter, Kelly Carlin, says that that time and those early successes at the talent show imprinted on her father something that would last for the rest of his life and spill over into his nonconformist brand of comedy.
When does a kid ever get to sit in the yard with a stick anymore? You know, just sit there with a stick. Do today's kids even know what a stick is? You know?
Year after year, Carlin's routines won the drama award. And in one of the years before he got the boot, the trophy was a necklace, like one of those little comedy tragedy masks on it.
And my dad wore that necklace all the time. And in fact, was wearing it the day he died.
Aww.
So that's how much Camp Notre Dame and Lake Spofford meant to him.
I was not a sleepaway summer camp kid. My family spent summers on Lake Massasequam in a bare-boned place with plenty of sun and swimming and sailing, but no television and no planned activities. We were expected to make our own fun, rain or shine. So for me, summer camp had a kind of mystique. My friends would come and visit me at camp, but then they'd disappear for a couple of weeks each summer and come back a little different, like new identities were being shaped inside of their cabins and canoes. It wasn't just the suntans and the corny camp songs. Somehow, sleepaway camp kids had a shared secret and understood each other in a way that the rest of us couldn't.
Attention all campers, afternoon swim schedule is as follows. Advanced dolphins will report to the dock for survival swimming and IQ testing. All senior silverfish meet on the beach for nude sunbathing. Junior salmon, trout, and herring report to the nearest delicatessen.
And whatever that impenetrable camp voodoo is, it's a pop culture fascination too. Like the high school party flick or the college frat house comedy. It's a place we know from television and movies and songs and books. A no-parent zone where kids go to discover a life of their own when no one's watching.
We run, we jump, we swim and play. We row and go on trips.
Today is the big culminating climactic softball game against evil
Camp Tiger Claw.
Boo!
Krusty, this camp was a nightmare. They fed us gruel. They forced us to make wallets for export. And one of the campers was eaten by a bear.
Oh, my God!
As it turns out, New Hampshire is the mainspring for America's summer camp story, the birthplace of a tradition that has shaped the lives of not only local kids, but kids who'd never been out of the city or even their own neighborhood, along with a number of celebrities who spent their summers tucked away at Squam or Spofford or Newfound Lakes, people like Paul Fireman, founder of Reebok, the actors Maggie and Jake Gyllenhaal, Fight Club's Edward Norton, The Breakfast Club's Judd Nelson, generations of adults forged in the shared crucible of camp. The bunk beds, the letters home, the bug bites, the bad food, and of course, the awkward sexual awakenings.
Can you French kiss?
I think so. Is there any secret to it?
The tongue has touched each other.
Okay, let's try it.
Of course, summer camps of yore were a little more free range than today's activity-filled deals. On his final HBO special and album, the grown-up George Carlin took aim at the taming of child's play by decades of lawsuits and helicopter-style parenting.
Come summertime, he'll be off to camp, but not to swim and hike and play softball. No, 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 no. Today's child will be sent away to lose weight. He'll be sent to fat camp, or violin camp, or ceramics camp, or computer camp, or leadership camp, whatever the f*** that is. Leadership camp. Isn't that where Hitler went?
Before he died of heart failure in 2008, George Carlin requested that his family disperse of his ashes in accordance with their knowledge of my prejudices and philosophies regarding geography and spirituality. Kelly Carlin knew just what to do. She left some of his remains at the Manhattan comedy clubs that once took a chance on the young Carlin. Then she rented a car, packed up some family, and headed up to Lake Spofford.
The day of, it was a big lightning thunderstorm, and you could hear the thunder rumbling in the sky. It was so visceral for me because it was like my father was speaking to us, and it was very touching because it was just being in nature and being in a place that was sacred ground to my father in some way. And we released some of his ashes into the lake, and it was just a very beautiful moment for all of us, and still is today when I think about it.